First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 through 34. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. This is the reading of God's word. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. But Father, we know that left alone, we are ignorant. We do not have ability to understand your word. But Father, we pray that you would work in us through your Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will give us understanding and give us desire to obey your word, so that we may bring glory and honor to you. Be with us, God, and receive all the glory as we hear your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Starting next Lord's Supper, Lord's Day, we will begin to look at the Psalms, one psalm each Lord's Supper, Lord's Day. So 12 psalms in 1 year. So it will take really long time to go through every psalm. But that's next Lord's Supper, Lord's Day. Today we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 17 through 34. And we simply do not have time to look at these verses in detail. But let us do our best to get the central message that our Lord, our God, has for us through these verses. The one thing is very clear as we read our passage. Some serious sins were being committed by the Corinthian church when she gathers for the Lord's Supper. And let us pay a careful attention to our passage today and see whether we are committing the same sin in our church. Verse 17, "But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worse." Now this is really serious. Their worship and their participation in the Lord's Supper were not for the better, but for the worse. They gather not to receive grace, not to be blessed, but be judged. If our worship and our participation in the Lord's Supper is the same way, then we are in serious trouble. At that time, whenever they gathered for the Lord's Supper, they also gathered beforehand for an agape, a love feast. Jude verse 12. Love feast. Somewhat like a potluck, as we would say it. Everyone would bring food and drinks and share them with others. But what happened at the church in Corinth was that the rich people brought much food, but they would not share with the poor. The rich ate and drank, and some even became drunk. And the poor were shamed, and they went home hungry. The unity of the church was not witnessed, and factions and divisions existed. And because of this, verse 20 says, "Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, but to eat their own supper." Thus, they come together not for the better, but for the worse. And Paul says to them in verse 22, "What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you." Now, at Christ and heaven, we do not have this love feast. Does it mean that we are free of the sins that the Corinthian church were guilty of? Are we free? Love feast right before the Lord's Supper. And my question to you today is this. How is your life before you come and participate in the Lord's Supper? How was your life last week? What was your attitude toward the others in our church? How were you in witnessing the unity of the church? Did you consider others more important than yourself? Did you care about others in our church? Maybe you lived your life as if you have nothing to do with others in this church. Maybe your focus all week long was just on you and your earthly family. Do you even care for others? Do you carry others in your heart as you live your life? If your answer is no, then how is it any different than what was going on at the church in Corinth? Because the issue was not about eating or not eating. The issue was these people's heart. They do not care. All their focus is on themselves. If we live our lives the same manner, and we come to the Lord's table, I don't see any difference between that and what we see, the sin that we see in the church at Corinth. If you live your life as if you and you alone matter, then you come to church and participate in the Lord's Supper. If this is how we gather, then we too are gathering not for the better, but for the worse. We too gather to be judged, rather than be blessed. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, we witness that we are truly one body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And together we participate in the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, is it not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is it not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The individual Lord's Supper is not biblical. And I want you to really examine yourself today, obeying what God is commanding us. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The Lord's Supper, as you come to the table, we do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And as we participate in it, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We have entered into the new relationship with our God through Jesus Christ. And we have entered into the new relationship with one another in Jesus Christ. We are no longer strangers to one another. We are truly one family of God and one body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Together we proclaim our Lord's death as we participate together in the Lord's Supper. We proclaim the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Together we proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We proclaim that we deserve eternal death because of our sins, but that our sins have been cleansed and forgiven by God through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Together we proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ. But it is that togetherness that is required. We cannot live our lives as what we see in this love feast right before the Lord's Supper. Verse 27 through 29, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." Very, very serious warning. Whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Here, when we talk about the worthiness, we are not talking about it in terms of our works. Of course not. In the world, when someone is worthy of an important gathering, what does that mean? And I don't think I need to explain that to you. But here, only the people of God who confess that they are not worthy are participating in a worthy manner. He who counts his works and his accomplishments as rubbish, he who acknowledges that he is a sinner who truly deserves the eternal judgment of God, only that person is participating in a worthy manner. Bible requires two things from you as you come to the table. One, you must examine yourself. And second, you must judge the body rightly. One must judge himself rightly. What would be your conclusion after you have examined yourself? A filthy sinner who truly deserves the eternal judgment of God. Just like these Corinthians, our whole focus was on ourselves. We don't care about our brothers and sisters. And these people who acted this way during that love feast are being scolded by God. How can you do that and come to the table? That's in fact what he's saying. And if you live your life just like what we see in this love feast, how can you live like that and you come to the table? And as you come to the table, you must understand and believe the doctrine of the Lord's Supper. You must understand and believe why he had to die and what is your relationship with his death on the cross. He died because of your sins. He died the death that you deserve. Brothers and sisters, the sacraments, we have two, right? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. They are actually not good for the sinners. They are the judgments of God. The only reason that they become good for you is the fact that you are united to Jesus Christ and that you receive them by faith. But for sinners, the sacraments are judgments of God. Do you remember we talked about this a lot? Crossing the Red Sea, Bible teaches us that as a baptism. But for Egyptian army, that baptism was not blessing of God. That baptism was judgment of God. For sinners, baptism is judgment of God. The only reason that is now blessing for you and me is that we are united to Christ. That we receive it by faith. And that is exactly what God is talking about here. If you don't judge yourself rightly, and if you don't judge the body rightly, then you're taking on a picture of that Egyptian army that we actually gather for the worse rather than for the better. And what is the truth for baptism is also true for the Lord's Supper. It becomes the judgment of God if one participates without faith and without repentance. That's why verse 30 says, "For this reason many among you are weak and sick and number asleep." People even died because they did not participate in the Lord's Supper in worthy manner. It's just because today we don't see people die, that doesn't mean that this issue is not serious. Do you remember early church even lying to God? They were killed right there. But today we don't see anybody dying by lying to God. Does that mean that lying to God, that issue is not serious anymore? Certain kind of life is required for those who come to the table. If you hadn't lived that life, then you must repent as you come to the table. Meaning that you will turn around from that sin, meaning the next time you will come, you will do your best to live that life that God requires of you. Otherwise, you will repent again. But we're talking true repentance. Because unless you come with faith and repentance, this will be judgment to you. That's why only Christians should come, because they are the one who has faith and they are the one who has Holy Spirit who will enable them to repent. Verse 31, but if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Now here, judgment is a discipline. We're not talking about the eternal judgment. But you are disciplined if you're a Christian and you come in an unworthy manner. You will be disciplined. And the session needs to reflect that reality. All who participate in the Lord's Supper must judge oneself rightly. Correct understanding, correct faith is required. Jesus died the death that we truly deserve, and Jesus made all of us as His heavenly family. We must witness that reality as we participate in the Lord's Supper. Brothers and sisters, as we come to the Lord's table, we must accept the guilty verdict on ourselves and participate in His death, or side with the worldly judges in judging Jesus. Either die with Christ or join the shouting crowd which cried loudly, "Crucify Him." If we do not judge ourselves rightly at the table of our Lord, then we are pronouncing a guilty verdict on Him. If you are not a sinner, then why did He die? If you did not live that sinful life, then why did He die? If you are so righteous, then He died for His own sin. That is why if you don't judge yourself rightly, then you're pronouncing a guilty verdict on Jesus Christ. Either you are guilty or Jesus is guilty. Which is it? That is why those who come to the table, they come with a repentant heart. We're talking serious, genuine, repentant heart. Otherwise, you're mocking it. You're mocking His death. Brothers and sisters, let us come to the table in
and worthy in a worthy manner. Let us examine ourselves. Let us really look at what kind of life do we live. Especially in terms of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. That even when He made us brothers and sisters in Christ, we live as if we have nothing to do with these people that we meet, that we gather so that we could come to the table.
Brothers and sisters, we too take up our crosses daily and follow Jesus Christ. And we, like Paul, die every single day. Romans chapter 8, verse 36, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Is this your attitude as you come to his table? All who correctly examining himself will repent of his sin. How do you judge yourself, brothers and sisters? Are you guilty sinners? You will be judged by God if you do not judge yourself rightly. Come to the table with a repentant heart. Repent of all your sins, especially of your sins of not loving your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Verse 34b says, so that you may not come together for judgment. How tragic it will be. It will be tragic if we gather here for judgment. It will be tragic if this gathering is gathering so that we could be judged by God. So please, brothers and sisters, examine yourselves. Repent of your sins. Repent that your life is farthest thing from the glory of God. How can I be so sure that that is so? I know because my life is the same. We're just hopeless, helpless sinners apart from the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, let us live this life that God desires us to live. That our primary focus will be God's glory. And if that was not your life and my life, then we must repent. Genuinely repent. Otherwise, you are gathering here for the worse, not for the better. And it will be tragic to you that rather than receive God's grace, you will be judged. You will be disciplined. First Corinthians 16:22, if anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. But for you and for me, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 and 13, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Verse 14, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, judge yourselves rightly and come and proclaim his death together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Spirit is with us. Convict us of our sins. Enable us that we may be able to truly repent, genuinely repent of our sins, so that we have gathered here for the better, not for the worse. Be with your people. Have mercy upon your people who are gathered here. Let us repent of our sins. Otherwise, as we come to your table, we will be judged. Oh Father, that will be the worst thing that could happen to us. So we beg our merciful God, work in us, enable us to repent genuinely, completely. Repent of our sins as we come to your table. Bless your people, God. Bless them. Bless me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.